Here we go again.
We're back.
Dun, dun, dun. Big audience. We got people yelling. We got all that stuff. We're back. Two Misfits and a Carpenter. Back at you, folks. Here we go again. Oh, my gosh. What's up, Shan? What's happening? What's going on in your life?
Tired. Had a tough workout this morning.
Mm.
Played a little pickleball. Why? Oh. Why did I play? Because I'm old and I'm fat. And that's
pickleball.
What old fat people do.
This is the sport of the future. Yeah. Everybody. I mean,
gotta tell you, man. I'm extremely mediocre. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. Pickleballing it up. Well, that's, you know, at least you're getting your exercise. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, I did boxing before. And it was a really tough workout.
Yeah, you were big in boxing.
And ran over.
I love it. Couple crazy things in the news this morning. Scottie Scheffler, golfer, best golfer in the world right now. You know, actually, went to jail last night. And this is the crazy thing is this man, Scottie Scheffler, is a very, very outspoken about his faith in the golf tour. Everything revolves around Jesus. And it's really cool because every win he gets, he's awesome. But now that, you know, again, the Christian world is going to take this guy, and well, not just the Christian world, but the secular world, is going to say, told you so. Guy talks about Jesus and he's in jail.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just talking the talk. He's not walking the walk, you know, and all this other BS that's going to come out. But just goes to show you, I think he had, it's coming out right now in the news, but some sort of thing with a pedestrian. So it was crazy. It was like at the golf club.
Didn't they have it like blocked off and he kind of went around it and was going in and
the
cop was chasing him? And
yeah, it was a.
Went
was
through
a,
pedestrian
It was like a mall cop. It wasn't even a real cop. And
so he had Paul Blart running around after him.
So anyway, he was released this morning and he's actually playing golf in the tournament today. But that was, that'll be funny to see how that turns out.
Yeah. And how about the kicker from Kansas City Chiefs with his commencement speech? You hear about that?
No.
He went out and spoke about his faith and spoke about conservative values and the abortion issue and everything else. And he is absolutely getting
just smoked.
Destroyed. They're coming up with stories about him being gay in college and all this kind of stuff. He's just getting absolutely leveled out there. And I listened to the speech. Most of these people didn't even listen to the speech. He basically was talking about conservative values, his belief in the Bible, and so forth, and they act like he is like a Taliban or something, you know, that he hates women and all this stuff. It's like, what? Did we listen to the same speech here? I mean, what are you talking about? Yeah,
people
it's crazy.
It's crazy out there. Yeah. It's crazy. And we pre-funked a little bit about the craziness of the Pope this week. And, everything's changing out there. I'm sure you guys have listened to some of this thing or seen it on social media and whatnot. But there's this new kind of organization that's forming worldwide, which is, what's it called, the One Church?
It's a One World Religion.
World Religion.
Yeah.
And the Pope has announced this week that he is going to make changes to the Gospels. Is that correct?
He's going to reinterpret them and basically use common sense instead of the Bible. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, this is according to Jonathan Kahn, who is a pastor with Worldwide Ministries. I don't know the guy very well. I don't know if he's legit, whatever. And I don't know how true this report is. However, I do know that the Pope has met with the top, I think how you pronounce it, is imam of the Muslim faith, as well as whatever the hierarchy of the rabbis with the Jews, and have determined that the new temple that's going to be built won't be just for Jews. And by the way, that's probably the only way it's going to get built.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one world religion that, you know, there's more ways, there's every way to God and whatever you believe is fine. And
well, this is something similar to what the Mormons did way back when. I mean, as soon as you have your manuscript, your scripture, you know, your holy book, if you will, and then you change it to be more politically correct. That doesn't always, I think, how does that really work out so good to have faith in something where it's like, well, you know what, maybe we just switch this around a little bit because it's that was for then and this is for now. You know, folks, the cool thing about the Bible, that's never happened. ever. You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, all these really cool things that have come about for us to go back and date the scriptures and to see exactly. They're the same then as they are now, and they have never been changed. And the scripture says, even if an angel should come down from heaven and change this, let them be eternally condemned. So kind of a big deal if the Pope is announcing that, hey, everybody, you know what? Let's get a little bit more politically correct and a little bit more to the times, and let's go ahead and
less,
the gospel.
And less exclusive, right?
Right.
I mean, there's more ways, more than one way to God. And the Bible's very clear. Jesus is very clear. Nobody gets to the Father but through me. This really comes down to, again, it's satanic. That's the only way I can describe it. For a one-world government, one-world religion, the Bible talks about it in Revelation to certain degrees and so forth. Look, guys, this is the world we're living in. We can see what's happening in our own culture. This is why it's so important to really understand the Bible, not because of somebody telling you what it says and here's what, but really research it. Mm-hmm. You know, be a Berean, amen, as Paul said. You know, he met with the Bereans and he said he was very impressed because they went to the scriptures and checked to see if these things were so, not taking Paul's word for it. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, again, take everything, measure it against scripture, measure it against the gospel. To see, because hey, Jesus said in the end days that deception's going to be great, so great that even deceive the elect if possible. So, you know, this is serious.
Yeah, very serious. Well, we also pre-funked a little bit today about just what was going on in our lives. And, you know, Chad Bird brought something up earlier in the week that really hit me hard, which was he did a little mini message on idolatry. And you know, idolatry always pops up as a, you know, a Christian kind of Bing word. It always is, you know, in the sentences of a sin that's obviously not a good one. But we don't really think about it. I know I don't very often when it comes to, like, my daily life, because idolatry meant more like golden calves or worshiping something other than God or believing in Allah or some, you know, other foreign god. And so being a Christian and having faith in Jesus, you kind of bypass idolatry, right? It's kind of like, yeah, I don't obviously worship any other gods. I'm good. And, you know, then you hear a lesson sometimes on, you know, how you can put things in front of God or how you can maybe worship something like this or this. And for me, I always just kind of barrel right through that. It's not like a big lesson in my life. But the way Chad had put it just really kind of hit me, and it made me think this week a lot about the things that I really do put in front of God. And for me personally, it really, I mean, there's many of them, but money and success, just they really trump everything else in my life.
Yeah, I mean, anything can be an idol, right? I mean, money, I mean, my kids can be an idol to me. My wife has been an idol to me. Anything can be an idol. Lloyd Jones, who is the great theologian, I believe is Brit, he's passed now, said, we are, human race, is nothing but little idol-making factories. And I think that's kind of the point. You know, we hear a lot with the, how do I say this? I've already made everybody mad. Anyway, evangelical church fundamentalists out there who keep on saying, if this is before you, you are sinning, you are an idol, that's an idol, don't make this an idol, don't make this an idol. And if we're being honest with ourselves, everything's an idol. Everything, I mean, when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is not Jesus. My first thought is, man, I need this deal.
Sure.
Okay, and that's part of it. Kind of is the whole point, right? I mean, if you had faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can move that mountain. That's the whole point. We are idol-making factories. And I'd like to say that I put, you know, Jesus, I put Jesus first all times. I can't. And neither can you.
Right.
I'd like to say that Jesus is my end-all, be-all. I can't. And neither can you. But I can say is that Jesus died on the cross and loved me and saved me because I'm a train wreck sinner with no hope. That I can say.
Amen. Amen.
So I think the biggest thing we look at, instead of having, and we take idols wrong a little bit, not that we shouldn't be aware of it, because my first thought should be like, I'm breathing again. Thank you, Lord. And also, he knows those things are important to us, all right? But when we make that above anything, we make sacrifices. I've heard preachers, and you've heard preachers, and you people listening, I know I've heard preachers say, you know, when you put soccer tournament for your child ahead of church, then you're doing, you know, they do those things, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So now, and there's a semblance of truth to that, okay? But I was talking to a pastor one time. He was in karate. Really, really good. Really good. He went to tournaments and everything else. Well, he had the state tournament Saturday and a Sunday. And it usually was a Thursday and a Friday. So he was like, well, I can't go because I've been beating everybody else up about, you know, taking their kids to their sporting events. Right. And I looked at him and I said, you know, that can be an idol too. I said, you know, this is the problem with the law. This is the problem about trying to make ourselves in our own gumption and our own self-will to be able to say, see me, I'm spiritual. When your heart's far from him, just go. Go. You're okay to hit this tournament. It's not like you're going to be gone for 6 months. If it is, maybe you need to reevaluate some things. But we make these things to be able to measure against each other. Now, idol, I'm off. I get it. We do. We have idols. I have plenty. And so do you.
Well, you nailed it. I think you're right. It all boils down to, once again, when we really reflect on this, then you're right. It becomes more performance-based. But I guess the practical question is in my life, and what I was reflecting on this week is, you know, some of these things, they're not very visible to us, and they become more of a character issue as we go along. And I think, again, it takes listening to good preachers or listening to great sermons or listening to, you know, or reading more scripture in a sense. But like for me, what hit me this week is that I can be going on my life week to week to week to week, and then all of a sudden get smacked up on the side of the head, which is like more reflecting on, yes, like there's been so much of this in my life that I need to keep it in check. And what I mean by that is from success and money, as I mentioned earlier, like my constant thought process, just like yours when I wake up, is trying to be successful and trying to make money and trying to provide and trying to be, you know, the calling of a man, if you will, whatever the case is. And so often in my life, I forget about everything else. And then I sprinkle a little bit of Jesus in there, which mm-hmm. is nice. Mm-hmm. And before, all of my thought process around spending time with Jesus was exactly what you mentioned. It was all based on, I need to be better than the next guy. Mm-hmm. I need to be performing at a better level. So I need to go pray. I need to go mm-hmm. read my Bible. Why? So that I can tell my friends that I did. Mm-hmm. I can tell the people at church that I did. But I do think that from a practical standpoint, I've been looking lately and just, I noticed that if I do take that thought captive and I do recognize that, you know what, I am an idol factory. And I do create these things on a daily basis. And it's not that those are bad things, but the fact that it's what's driving me so often, it's good to reflect and to put it in its right place, to put it in a place that is not
your
being
identity.
An idol. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, you know, you mentioned the house thing with me before, and, you know, mm-hmm. and you're in the same place when it's selling these houses or anything, you know. I know, you know, you have been working diligently to figure out new ways of creating income mm-hmm. so that you can be successful for not just yourself, but for your family.
Yeah.
And that's you have to, right?
It's part of my responsibility.
But the thing is too, but isn't it crazy how we can just push everything else off to the side, faith, hope, some of these things of the spirit, mm-hmm. and we get so stuck in, like, are they going to buy it or not buy it? Am I going to do this or not? Like, I mean, and our days go by, and we're so consumed with this idol factory mm-hmm. of, because everything is coming before God. Okay, God, I can't, not, no time right now. Just wait a little bit. I got to sell the house. Wait a second.
Yeah,
I got
it's
to do
an
this.
escrow. I'll give you a
I,
call if it
I gotta,
falls out.
I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. But then it's like we go weeks and weeks and weeks, and we run, and then all of a sudden we're like, man, I'm sorry, God, I haven't actually put you in any of this. Mm-hmm. I haven't really put you first in anything.
Right.
I'm gonna go do a podcast in the last few weeks. I really haven't even put you in
right.
any kind of. You're not even in the top 20. You know, you're and before again and then this would be Sean's time to say, well, Craig, you know what? You need to do more of what I'm doing. And that's the beauty of what we're talking about is we're not.
I hope we're, not.
We're,
wow.
We're not.
There goes the podcast. Well, this will end real
yeah.
quick.
But that's what used to happen to us. You
yeah,
talk to your brother,
yeah.
and your brother would say, well, Craig, whew, there you go again. And you go, man, I just can't get it right, Sean. Well, you
yeah.
need to start working harder.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to talk to people, to talk to a church, to talk to the people that are in your life, whatever the case is, that can encourage you in the right way to say, hey, you know what? You've been putting those things in a place
mm-hmm.
in your life that's not where they should be. We just
right.
need to organize this a little bit better so that you can get on the right page. So what we're saying to you guys as our audience today is maybe this week check where God is lined up in your life as far as what place and not in a condemning or performance-based way, but just solely that you'll have more freedom, I think, and also you'll have more confidence. You'll have more everything when you find that God comes at a different place and you're not a little idol factory, you know, in these things.
Yeah, and I think what it comes down to, I mean, yeah, we have a lot of Old Testament, you know, where they simply started worshiping other gods. But anything can be an idol. And we talked about that earlier. One of the things I think happens is that we get wrapped up in things that we identify with that are important to us, and they're important to God too, but it somehow glorifies us. That is what an idol is. So if I'm working, God is not against hard work, by the way. He's not against you putting in hours and working hard. What he is against is that being your identity. My identity is Christ. And I think when one of the things, Craig, you said, you know, to check ourselves, I have to check myself. Because as we get successful, things are working out, things are going pretty well, we start thinking that, hey, you know, I did this.
That's just
you
it.
Know, I boy,
yeah.
I'm a pretty talented dude,
yep.
you know,
yep.
and now it becomes our identity, and people say, hey, wow, that was really great, and you go, yeah, it kind of was. Well, thanks. Well, you know, we put this false bravado out there, and I think what we need to understand, and it goes back to understanding and preaching the gospel, is that God's sovereign. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And sometimes what's best for you is the exact opposite of what you think is best for you. But, and we'll, you know, wrestle against that and fight against God on those things if we don't have the proper perspective that this is just temporary. Everything I'm doing is a means to an end until I actually go home.
Right.
And that, I think, is what you're saying is that to check that. Get back to perspective, a heavenly perspective, not a earthly perspective. Does not mean, hey, don't work, don't get out there and take care of your responsibilities. Not saying that. What I am saying is, let's check what our identity is and always remind each other who our identity is. And actually, you know, what I get a little bit upset is we get preached to and we have, here's six top idols that we all, it's like, don't go there, okay? I mean, I'm a factory. I can make six others, and no problem at all.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how I'm failing. Tell me what the law says. I already know I'm short. Now show me where the good news is, and I actually will look at my identity in Christ as opposed to what I do.
Amen. And I think this is where wisdom comes in as well. You know, God says, you know, Scripture says, seek wisdom, you know, for it is better than choice rubies. You know
yeah.
what I mean, you know, Solomon talked a lot about these things. Who is the wisest man that was?
Wow! Yeah.
And I think
Ecclesiastes
for,
is an
yeah,
amazing book.
I mean, for us, I think this is another one of those nuggets of where wisdom begins, because wisdom is when you do check yourself, when you do see these things that are in your life, and you're able to, whether you put them on paper, whether you, you know, however you want to, you know, really find them in your life, define them in your life, is where you can start changing some of these things, and again, put them in the order that they're supposed to be. And I think that that is a ruby. That is finding something that produces in you so many good things when you can look at stuff like this from a self-reflecting place and say, you know what, I have been putting this way too ahead of you, God. I have been doing this, and I haven't really been putting you in this at all. And you know what, this week I'm going to strive to put you ahead of this. And I think that's where that wisdom is, like, ding, 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 you know, good work. You know, that's what we're looking to do. And it's not, again, from a condemnation point, which was how I and how you, Sean, and why we're, again, so passionate about most of this stuff, is because we had it backwards. And I know some of you guys out there had it backwards too, where this was, again, just, it, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. Do it to gain wisdom, like you said, so we, you know, Sean, so we can live this life the best we can live it until our time is done. Not to go and tell the person that we're trying to impress in this Christian walk that I'm doing this and, you know, you got to get with the program.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Sean, I'm really struggling this week with, you know, I'm really struggling with my identity in Christ. Well, I used to struggle with that too, but, you know, not anymore. It's kind of like the Scottie Scheffler thing. Like, I mean, all these people, instead of looking at this and going, oh my gosh, you know what? Amazing guy, had a little accident, who knows? I mean, we all do, you know. Instead, what's going to happen? You're going to get all these people out there today. Oh, well, I guess we knew really where he was at. Yeah. I guess, what a hypocrite. What a hypocrite that guy is. Yeah. He's going to go out there on national TV and praise Jesus, and now he went to jail this morning. I mean, come on. I guess he must not have really been saved. Obviously, that guy wasn't a saved individual. I mean, and that's the majority of where it's just so gross. It's just yuck. It's just like, come on, people. And I guess that's why two jaded misfits like Sean and I get so fired up about this stuff, because, man, it's becoming more and more and more prevalent that supposedly once we're saved and we taste the goodness of God and of Jesus, then our life is supposed to go one direction forever. And if by chance you fall off, well, boy, howdy.
Yeah.
You must not have really ever been there, Sean.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And I think the biggest thing is I want to stress is that the whole point of not having idols, because it takes glory away from God and it actually does you harm, that's the other reason that God tells us not to do that. But understand this, we're not going to be perfect. We are going to have idols. That's kind of the whole point, is that we are so sinful. We are so helpless. We are so hopeless. Our only hope is the one who can, that heals us from all that. So the biggest thing is that even though you check yourself, you'll another one will pop right up over here, you know, and then you're like, wow, you're constantly, it's kind of like, what's that, the mole thing at the arcade where you're trying to, it's like when your focus is on those things instead of God and who's your identity, it's amazing when you're focusing on God and you're focusing on Jesus and what he's done instead of what you've done and your identity, actually these idols kind of start coming in their proper perspective. But make no mistake about this, sinner, they're still going to be there. This is why we have a God who is so radical, he'd rather die than be without us. And amen, man.
Amen to that.
I mean, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Amen. Yeah. And can you imagine, we wonder why so many people in today's church are falling out of it. They're no longer showing up. They're no longer coming. After years and years and years, they're at the place where it's like, no more. Well, why do you think that is? Because they can't do it anymore. They've been trying and trying and trying. And like the game, Sean, you just referenced, just when one thing goes away, another thing pops up, and now I got to do with this thing, and I got to do with this thing, and I'm trying to talk to people about it, and they keep telling me to do more, pray more, give more, give more. And I'm done everything I can possibly do. And I can't do it anymore, God. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do this. And so they stop. And that's what's going on right now. And God says, don't stop. You're in, just come to me and let me give you rest instead of trying to keep carrying this load. And what are the pastors, the preachers, the friends, the Craigs, the Shawns of the old telling these people? Well, you just got to do more. Come on, you got to keep going. You got to keep doing. You got to get rid of that sin. And it's so weighty. And so it's so.
Good news there.
And that's why.
Your Christian life is heavy, it's not coming from Jesus. How do I know this? Because he said, my load is light. Yeah. I'll give you rest from all that. Because, hey, look, here's what he demands from us. Christian, you want to know what God wants from you? He wants you to be perfect. Like his father. That's what he wants. Be perfect like him. That's what he wants. We can't.
No, and that's what we're trying to do. And all these people out there exactly are that. They're trying every single day to live up, to live up, to live up. I just can't do it.
And that's why I have a problem with a lot of the messages. It's like, look, now, you know, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for direction. Well, God isn't. See, God isn't looking for direction. He is looking for perfection. We are lowering his holiness so that we can make a couple hurdles, drop a couple, and see, God, I have great effort. Your effort's going to condemn you, okay? His perfection drapes you. So focus on that, and you actually have peace. And without you even knowing it, you're loving your neighbor, and you're actually doing some things that you wouldn't do if you're focusing on how you're failing all the time.
And that's the big question, right? That's the hang-up for everybody out there is, oh, my gosh, you guys are just giving everybody a license to sin. You're just giving us everybody. So we're just supposed to not try to work anymore. We're just supposed to just, what, Craig? We're just supposed to just go. No, actually, it's going to produce. And you remember that equation we were talking about? God plus all of your works equals salvation. Well, keep giving that a shot. Keep that equation rocking and rolling and see how you feel at the end of every single day of your life. Or try the other one. God equals salvation, which then produces fruit. See how it feels when you're close to God without all the works involved. But faith without works is dead. Yes. Well, you know what? I think you might be taking that one a little bit wrong.
I think
wrong.
We misunderstand that verse, okay? The works, by the way. Okay, define those for me. Define. Well, no, it's a spirit. It's the fruit of the spirit. I don't see it, okay? I mean, I demand mercy, not sacrifice. Go and learn what that means.
Amen.
Look, the works that we will do is going to be a byproduct of who we are in Christ now. We're going to have love for neighbor. We're going to look at the misfits and bring them in and give them bread. But what we try to do is make ourselves more moral, which actually condemns us, because we're actually counting on that to be saved or to be his, instead of counting on the blood and the action of Christ for you. So here's an idol. How about this? We're talking about idols. So is your idol Christian? Is your idol what you do? Is your idol that you do more for God than Craig and Sean does? So that shows everybody just how committed I am to Christ. I got news for you. On your best day, your commitment is dung. Your commitment is so bad towards Christ. I don't care who you are and what you've done. But I'll tell you this. Here's the good news. Christ's commitment for me is absolutely rock solid. It never fails. My faith is weak. It's feeble. His, totally faithful all the time. Never misses this. I'm going to focus on that.
And what did Jesus say to the people who declared that they could see?
You're blind.
That's just it. And to the blind, you will see.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for you guys today.
By the way, a little. I know we're running a little late here.
Hey, take your time.
I called out some people who last week when we were talking about sanctification. For the most part, I want to make sure everybody understands. I think John MacArthur, John Piper, Washer, and Kevin DeYoung are brothers in Christ. They are saved. I do believe, though, their sanctification's messed up, and it can do harm to the brethren. But that does not mean that they aren't one of the brothers. I disagree with them on their view of sanctification. I believe they mix law and gospel, and it becomes something that is a works-oriented to justify your salvation instead of Christ's blood. But we can have disagreements. I love them as brothers in Christ. I want to make sure you guys understand that. All right.
Hey.
Peace out.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to, you know, I didn't take it wrong what you said, Sean.
Oh,
I don't,
boy.
I don't think
you,
a lot
you
of,
would not believe.
Yeah, maybe some other people.
Well, there's
did,
a lot of idol worship with pastors, too, so.
Oh, this is a big topic, and we hope it helped you guys as, you know, it helped us against, you know, again, to just to walk through it in our minds. So this week, maybe try and prioritize those things that you have in front of God. That's what I'm going to work on personally, and try to gain a little bit more of that wisdom that God tells us is so choice in our lives. We love you guys. Have a wonderful week, and we'll catch you on the flip.
You are loved. Peace.